Early golf, you just can't beat it. I'm going to have so much more time for activities, and if you can't tell for the very first time, I'm standing up during a stream. I'm not trying to burn a couple pounds for the waste management. Well, yeah, it'll be less fat would be the better way to put it before the waste management. So I figured, let's just stand while I do these things, and nothing bad could ever happen. And now I've got so much more room for activities. Very excited. Let's get going. Golf is finishing right now. Here's Hovland for a birdie putt on 17, leaving it low like a dickhead, looked like a world beater, and then just went old Hovland with that chip on, what was that, 12 or 13? Barutal. What's up, new guy? My name's James, better known as the Degenerate 75. I'm a DFS content creator who is here to help you get a little better at DFS. I know a little secret that none of these other dickheads will tell you. This shit be tough, and if anybody who promises you're going to win with their stupid picks and plays, you run, all right? How you're really going to do it is, A, you need to understand that PGA DFS is a real big kick in the nuts, and you need to make it sustainable, you need to make it fun, you need to have a process, and if you do those things well enough for long enough, you can become a successful DFS player or hit that big one, and I'm telling you, there's no sweat better. If you find you like the cut of my jib, well, first of all, hit the like. For every 50 likes we get over there, we will be doing a ticket with me tomorrow. And if you really like the cut of my jib, come check out this schedule. Don't forget, this is the Showdown Hoedown every Friday and Saturday night at the conclusion of round 3 and round 4, right? Me and Tambo are going to do our first pricing release show this Monday at 1 o'clock. I know it says noon up there, but Tambo needs to do it at 1. We're going to do it at 1. You're going to fucking deal with it, pal. All right? And then, of course, the biggest show of all time, the number one stream in PGA DFS, Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in the Lord's time zone. We will be doing the stream, getting you everything you need. Oh, you hate to see Morikawa miss a short putt. Eat it, dickhead. All right. You got to put Morikawa and Scheffler today. Why? Why do you got to play anybody? It's a round of showdown, dickie. All right, let's move on. The camera's shaking. I'm all over the place. Don't forget, hit that like for every 50. We will be dropping the thing. All right, let's talk a little contest selection so I can get the stone made. And I think I'm going to sneak away to the poker room tonight. Looking at the contest for tomorrow, not great, bub. Not great. It's a final regular season weekend of NFL. They're always going to nerf round 4 showdown. The main contest, 25% up top. Don't love it. It's probably better than I was expecting. I was kind of expecting to do that $60,000 bullshit, but it appears as though they're going to do the $80,000. You know, I wish they would just see that the past 3 days, these have all filled very, very quickly. And with them filling very quickly, I wish they would have just realized that, make better contests, right? Because the $5 drive, the green yesterday for round 3 filled so quickly. The $20 was slower, but the $20 had a much shittier payout, right? So if they would just make good contests, I think even with NFL tomorrow, it is going to be playing. And I think round 4 showdown is the biggest edge out there because dumbasses chase those position points way more than they should, bub. Right? Right. All right, let's talk about how the course played today. Let me hit refresh. You don't come to the show because I have tabs ready. The course played noticeably harder today, but still just a birdie fest out there, right? 2.5 strokes under par is still very easy. But, I mean, there was actually guys scoring bogeys. Look at that. The first 4 holes all played above par today. What was the thing? Well, first of all, the wind was blowing. But it wasn't just that the wind was blowing. Watching the round today, it really seemed as though it matters which way the wind is blowing. It's making some of these holes noticeably harder. If the wind's blowing 15 miles an hour on this course, but it's not in the right direction, or it is in the right direction, it really doesn't have much of an impact on scoring. But when it's the other way, not great, Bob. Not great. And you saw some dudes really struggle busting out there. And then you just had guys like Victor Hovland that said, I hear what you guys are saying, but why don't I just scull it into the fucking woods, lose my ball, and take a 7 on the easiest hole on the course? It's a bold strategy, Cotton. We'll have to see if it pays off. Oh, there's Benny Ann rolling in a bird. Got some Benny Ann in week long. Wouldn't mind all seeing Benny Ann get there for me. You want to know why I played Benny Ann this week? Legit. I looked at our projections, and it was just blowing up. I'm like, well, I guess I'm playing fucking Benny Ann. I don't know why the projections love him, but they do. So there you go. Hey, new guy, if all this PGA, if I'm using too many terms, saying too many things you're not used to, I made this beginner guide right here. I kept it behind the paywall, but I'm going to link it over here in the chat and in the description of this video. Simply go watch it, and it will tell you everything you need to know to learn the basics of PGA DFS. Start out small, learn the game, have some fun with it, and get better. And I'm telling you, PGA DFS is just a different kind of burn, bro. You're just going to have to take my word on it, okay? Getting over to the weather. Yes, I am very, very wealthy. I can afford the $18 a year to give you guys the best projections. And as you can see, tomorrow, they're going to roast the shit out of this course, right? You don't have to worry about which way the wind's blowing tomorrow because it's not going to be fucking blowing, right? We already know that they're going to be doing the same thing they did today. They're going to be going off split tees, 1 and 10, just like they did today. So everybody's going to be on a 2-hour window. They're going to get it over as soon as possible. Why are they going to do that? Because they don't want to be up against the NFL, so they're going to try to get the round over as quick as possible. So they haven't obviously officially put out the the tee times, but I am 99.9% sure they will be going off of split tees and threes just like we saw today, okay? So with that, there's really no weather edge to change. But here's what I would tell you. We don't need to, just because there's no weather edge to change doesn't mean that we shouldn't consider the weather. How we should actually be considering the weather tomorrow is this. Guys can absolutely nuke this course. I think you're going to see at least five guys shoot minus eight or better tomorrow. Why does that matter? Because people are going to overvalue these position points tomorrow. And what they're going to fail to realize is a guy that shoots a minus eight with a bogey-free round and a streak and finishes, let's say, eighth place is just as good as a guy who has five birdies, no streak, and finishes second place. That other guy is a way better play, but everyone's like, I got to put a top lead board. Okay, you don't have to do shit, especially with the way these conditions are going to do tomorrow. So I implore you to have at least two chasers in every one of your lineups, because if you just play six guys inside the top 10, I can already go ahead and tell you the ending of this movie. You ain't going to fucking win. All right, that's the ending of this story, Bob. That's the weather. Is there a weather edge tomorrow? No, but that doesn't mean that we don't factor the weather into our process, okay? Hey, you want to know something? This is the big guy's projections right here, loaded into the solver, the best optimizer out there. Guys, I'm telling you, want to get this? I go by the six-month package now. If you want my projections and my ownership, which I promise you, no one does ownership or projections harder than I do, and you want them preloaded in the best optimizer out there, use the solver, right? Look, here's the Rosetta Stone from yesterday. This is what I put out to my members. And you're like, hey, man, I don't know what punts to play. Well, just simply go look at the projections from $7,100 down, the quote-unquote punts. Who were the four highest guys that we had? Harris English, Luke List, Tom Hoagie, Chris Kirk. Those are the four highest projected guys of all the punts. And three of those four guys had nuke rounds, including old rope hat Harris English, who broke the fucking slate, right? So, like, this is, are projections the end-all be-all? No, they're not. But they can certainly be that thing that helps you get on a guy that you would otherwise not be on. And as you can see, right there, Harris English, the second highest projected guy of all the punts in this entire tournament, looking at my projections. If you want access to these, you simply just go over here to Showdown Hoedown, use my little landing page on the solver, and that will make my projections come already preloaded for you, okay? That is the projections. Let's get going. Hey, new guy, round four, welcome. It's a little bit different, okay, because we have these things called position points that I've already been spending a lot of time shitting on people. First up, it is nice to have the winner, because if you have the winner tomorrow, they likely have had a good round because this is a birdie fest, and they're going to have to go win this. No one's going to fall into this tomorrow. But then they're also going to get 13 additional bonus points at the end for finishing first place. That is not something we had in round one, round two, or round three, but we are going to have it in round four. So we do have to play a slightly different strategy. To have nobody in the top 10, I think, is very misguided, right? I think you're going to probably want to build all of your lineup starting with two, maybe three guys, and if you're a real softish baby shit kind of person, four guys up in the top 10 and give yourself the most chances for guys to nuke up there. Not only have a great round, but also get those 13 bonus points if they win the round or if they win the tournament, right? Because those guys will almost certainly be nutted because they'll probably have shot a 6 or 7 under, probably get you a streak, a bogey-free round, and now they're getting 13 additional bonus points on top, which is more than two birdies difference, right? So you're going to want that. So to completely ignore the top 10 and just play a bunch of chasers tomorrow, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. You cannot build an optimal lineup doing that. But at the same time, building four, five, six guys that start in the top 10, I also think you're being an idiot. Because look at this. The difference between sixth place, if your guy finishes sixth place tomorrow, and the guy that finishes literally 40th fucking place, not even one birdie. One birdie is the difference in those two. And people are going to be like, got to play the guy that's going to get eighth. No, you ain't got to do shit, Bob. What did I say? Sixth? I meant eighth. If you do eighth, that's 5.5 away. And a birdie is 5.75. So one birdie cancels that out. This is the importance of getting chasers tomorrow. Yes, you're going to want one, two, maybe even three guys that are going to crawl up to the top of the leaderboard with those nuclear rounds towards the top. But to completely fade those guys that are sitting in that 10 to 20 range, 20 to 30 range, and even a guy that may go out from the complete back of the field. Just some guy who's at minus one right now, Cam Davis says, fuck it, and goes and shoots a minus nine tomorrow and breaks the slate with a bogey-free round and a streak, you are going to need him. The key is you don't want six Cam Davises. You want to have Cam Davis mixed in with those other guys up at the top, right? There is a lot that goes into roster construction for round four, so please be aware of that when you're building your lineups tomorrow because it is a different game than it was for round one, round two, and round three. All right, man, I got to tell you, when you stand up, the fat guy gets a little bit out of breath, a little bit more taxing than I was thinking. Looking at today, let's get over to the stats. This is Data Golf. These are free. If all you guys want to look at these, they're also on the Rosetta Stone. You see the Rosetta Stone right here? You just scroll over, and we have it all right there. Oh, yeah. So then you can just look at them in one place if it's easier for you. Looking at the stats, as always, I like to start with ball striking. Lukey Gloves, which, by the way, Lucas Glover, I played him a lot today. He was one of my favorite plays. I had him marked. And I was like, Lucas Glover. All right. He has 12 feet for birdie on 17. Well, at least we're getting a bogey-free round out of this. I literally said those words in my head. I look back. He three putts from 12 feet to miss his bogey-free round. Lukey Gloves, I will kick you in the dick. I'll punch you harder than your wife. All right. So there you go. He was unbelievable ball striking today. I don't imagine he's going to continue to three putt from 12 feet, especially with that cheater putter that he rocks. So if you want to go right back there, you could. I will tell you, ever since he's got that cheater putter, he is at least an average putter and not a guy that you would expect to lose 2.25 strokes putting. Other guys that ball struck today, old Andrew approached him. Back to being approached him. Look at that. All right. And he still couldn't putt today. So if you want a guy that could just go out tomorrow and kind of be like, fuck it, I got a haircut, let's go do it, maybe it's old Andrew Putnam. Xander, dude, Xander was beast today. That guy, he's playing so good. I'll be shocked if he doesn't win this. He just owns this play. They should just call this the Xander Open. Jason Day with a nice bounce back today. Maybe it's those stupid MC Hammer pants he's wearing. I don't know. Corey Connors played a lot of Corey Connors, so of course he couldn't make a putt, you Pennywise dickhead. Adam Schenck played a lot of Adam Schenck. Of course he couldn't putt. You want to know the rule? You can't putt if you're in my lineups. Dim's the rules. Morikawa and Scheffler are just like smash bounce back plays tomorrow. Like if you're like, oh, they screwed me today. Well, first of all, you shouldn't have been playing them because they were 33% owned, you donkey dick. And now you're going to get a discount on tomorrow because of how they played today. And now is tomorrow's the day you go play them because they're going to probably get a bounce back round and you're going to get them at lower ownership. This is called playing the game. Okay. Morikawa, Scheffler, I didn't play them today. How could you not play them? Dude, they didn't do shit. They both shot like what? -2? Ooh. Maybe Scheffler will eagle the last or something, but I doubt it. Got Sungjae here, 217 in. I played Sungjae just because I needed to mush him, and it worked. I think he's had 19 bogeys today. All right, let's look at approach. Anybody just killing it on approach today? By the way, I see 69 people in here. Nice. I only see 37 likes. That means we have 32 dickheads in here. So why don't you go ahead and hit the like for me, new guy? Let's see. Looking at approach, we already talked about some of these guys. Nick Taylor. Ruru good approach today. Andy shot an even round. Don't mind when Nick Taylor's irons are on, I'll usually play him because he's one of my nuclear hot guys. Dude, Sepp Straka, why do you do this to me, Sepp? I love Sepp. I'm really starting to realize I have a Sepp problem. We already talked about Connors. I think Benny Am might actually win this freaking tournament. I cannot believe I'm saying those words are coming out of my mouth. Here's a great one. Brennan Todd, there's two guys when their approach is on, I autoplay. Okay. That is Brennan Todd and Denny McCarthy. And Denny McCarthy, I played today, and I honestly, how did he end up doing? Once again, couldn't putt, all right? So Denny McCarthy and Brennan Todd, both gaining on approach, both losing on putting. Those are the kind of things I look for because long-term, those guys are probably two of the five best putters in the world. So I'm always going to go back to that. Anybody just really dick themselves off the tee? Ricky Fowler, God, he started out so hot. I was like, oh, man, we're going to get there. And he said, no, 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 no. Man, I'm telling you, Tommy Fleetwood just feels like a guy that's going to boat race tomorrow. He lost almost 3 strokes off the tee today. Jesus, Tommy. Ludvig, we needed one of these rounds from Iceberg, right? We needed to see that he was human. 4 over? My God, man. My God. All right, anybody dick themselves off around the green? Oh, wow, Lee Hodges just went full Victor Hovland. Look, Victor Hovland freaking sculled one OB, and Hodges still almost doubled him up in strokes lost. Let's see if Hovland can get up and down here on 18. Looks like hopefully he's hitting his third from there. No telling the way his round's going right now. Hopefully he can get up and down for bird here. So anyways, those are some of the guys. Nick Taylor, Nick Hardy, Sungjae, terrible short game. Look, he actually ball struck today. Terrible short game. I think I'm going right back to old skinny Sungjae, right? I can't even call him street food Sungjae anymore because he's so skinny. Damn, Hovland. Damn, that's a terrible. That's how I would chip it. Way too short. He actually got a lot of run out there. I guess it didn't end up that bad. All right. So there you go. That's a quick rundown of the stats. Let's see. What do we got here? As I've already said, I am pretty confident they're going to be going off in threes tomorrow. Off tees 1 and 10, just like they did today. Why does that matter? Because I don't think there's much of a weather edge in the sense that some guys are going to be playing a softer course than other guys. Everybody's going to be basically playing the course in the same conditions. But as I said, I think they're going to roast this course tomorrow. I think you're going to get back closer to that -5 average range. Unless they put the pin somewhere really, really tricky tomorrow. But honestly, I don't think you can even protect this course without wind. So they're going to roast this course. I'm going to be playing guys who are charging. Right? I'm going to be playing chargers tomorrow, but not the ones in LA. All right, let's get to the drawing. Editor. Once I see 50 likes, we'll do the drawing. If we get to 100, we'll draw another one. I will answer some questions, and then I got to go make the stone, and then I got to go play poker because the big guy's won like 7 out of his last 8 sessions, and I tip like a fucking maniac. So if I'm winning, I'm like really winning. And I hit the high hand last week. Let's go. Just going to give me a free $300? Hell yeah. I split it with the dealer. I'm classy. Hey, new guy, go check out my website. Trust me. Look at me, new guy. There is not a site in PGA DFS that is growing faster than mine. That I can fucking assure you, all right? I don't want to be that guy that brags about how many people have signed up just since the new year, but it's been real, real good. And here's why. Okay, over at my site, nobody cares more about PGA DFS than I do. When it comes to ownership, when it comes to projections, when it comes to weather, when it comes to behind the paywall videos, when it comes to treating you guys like customers, nobody cares more, right? And then here's the best part. We don't fucking price gouge you. Everything I do for all of my showdown, all of my week long, right there, $34.99 for golf. And please listen, look me in the eyes, new guy. You want to lock in that price. I am telling you, you're going to want to lock in that price. The value on that is only going to improve. So please go lock that in. Or if you're real, real smart, go lock in that all access, which is also going to get you my prop picks, NASCAR, continue to give you football, and that's going to be a good one. And I'm telling you guys, one last time, that big guy package, I'm shutting it off at Waste Management. I've legit had so many people sign up for it. It's getting out of control. You have until Waste Management, the shit shut down for the rest of the year. That's only for the hardos. Never thought it'd be so popular. Oh, yeah, and over at my site, we have the best tool in all of PGA DFS. Imagine people not just saying, hey, here's some picks, fuckhead, good luck, but actually giving you a tool that assists you in making your own process and making your own plays, and that is what this is called, the Rosetta Stone. I make this for all my members for week-long, round two, round three, and round four showdown. Of course, a big shout-out to all my winners. In this community, we celebrate the winners of the community, not that of the moderators, because we're not slapdicks. And if you've ever wanted to try a week on my website completely free, sign up for that newsletter. Send an email or a tweet over to @thedgeneditor, and he will give you a free week on the site. No strings attached. You don't even got to like reserve it with your credit card. We're not fucking weirdos like that. I just know once you try it, you're going to want to be there. All right, editor, I see 50 likes. I think I see 50. There was 50, and then it went down to 49. Fuck it. Draw it anyways. Give him a drawing. While he does that, let me remind you guys, we are going to the Waste Management. Me, Tambo, Hoop, all my team, all of Shippett's team, we're going to have a big meetup. We're going to be doing shit like going to a putt-putt. We're going to be going to the casino. Of course, we're going to be going to the Waste Management on Friday and Saturday. We're going to watch the Super Bowl on Sunday. Be there. Make plans. Going to be real, real fun. Man, look at Chris Kirk. Having a great round out there. That guy needs to go celebrate with a couple beers tonight. You know what I'm saying? All right. The drawing is Niners DD21. Don't know who the hell you are, new guy, but all you got to do is reach out to me. If you're on the Discord, send me a message over there. If you're on Twitter, you can DM me. I'll return it because I'm like not famous and I like reply to DMs and stuff. So there you go. Reach out to me. That's all we got. Let's get to the questions. And then the big guy has got to get the stone out. I'm a slut to the stone and my people. And look at that beautiful ocean. I'm sitting here in shitty ass, rainy ass Oklahoma City. It's cold. It's wet. And then they're going to show me that on the television. Fuck you, Hawaii, and your beautiful scenery. All right. Answering questions. Let me get a quick swig of the Perrier. Hovland for birdie on 18. There you go, Vic. Never too late to quit being an asshole. Never too late to quit being an asshole, Vic. Okay. Hey, 69 people in here. Nice. Nice. All right. Let's see. Lowest player who will be tomorrow, I'll be at -7. Lowest player who will be tomorrow, I'll be -7. Jerry, I don't know what the fuck you're asking, bub. How far back is too far back? To win, if you want to talk about winning, I think the only reasonable people that could probably win probably be the -15 guys. You know, it's going to be really hard. Well, I guess Kirk's making birdie on the last hole right now, so he's going to be at -21. So I'd probably say the -16 guys. It's going to be really hard to make up 5 strokes on Kirk and go past all those guys between him and them. So I'd say probably -16, -17 guys would be the last guys that would have a realistic shot at winning. Sung Jae shooting a 73. What a dickhead. New guy, what price range are we going overweight on in DK single entry? I honestly wouldn't even worry about the price range. I'd worry about who do you think is going to win this tournament. Answer that question first. If you think Kirk's going to win it, well then go overweight, go underweight in that range and just go with Kirk every time you're in that range. If you think it's going to be Xander, it's going to win, well then go Xander in all your lineups and make that the guy you play up there, right? Start with who you think's going to win, who you think's going to be up towards the top, and then reverse engineer from there. We getting dancing DJing now? I don't know, Nick. I'm already out of breath just standing up. If I start dancing, my ass going to pass out. Waste Management or Waste Management? Oh, well played, Reclage. A little bit of both. That's a fire pun, bro. That's a fire pun. All right, any love for Hobbit tomorrow? Let's see. What did old Brian Harms do today? Harmon. What did he do today? Harmon, I mean, yeah, Harmon's another one of those guys that's a very good putter. So when I see his approach on, I'm always warm to him, right? But, you know, I don't know. He's just too pricey this week, right? I'd rather just go play other fucking studs than him. That's my problem. And I always think of Brian Harman as a guy that can go shoot -5 or -6 in tough conditions. I never really think of him as a dude that's going to shoot a -10 in easy conditions, if that makes sense, right? Oh, wow. They're just showing Decky fucking chipping it in from 900 yards away. Lucksack and donkey. How do you approach showdown? With a wedge. With a wedge. Inside to out. Keep my hands forward. That's how I do it. Let's see. Moving on. See, now I can do golf swing stuff right here. You got somebody. I know somebody in the comments can be like, "You're not keeping your elbow to your ribs. You're not keeping your elbow to your ribs." How about this? How about you shut the fuck up? Okay. Which is better, back 9 first or second? Let's see if they saw an advantage real quick. Let me go over because, yeah, I mean the problem is. 18 is easy, but it doesn't connect very nicely with 17 and 1 and 1 and 2, right? 9 is also relatively easy, but it doesn't connect well with 9 and 10. So really, I don't think it makes much of a difference. That's not where you're going to squeeze out your streak, and that's really the only reason it matters, right? The back 9 is definitely easier, though, if you watch scoring. Just ask Tony Finau. You probably think about this. How far down the leaderboard are guys playing? Yeah, I've already said, I think a guy like Hovland, well, who just got to -15, he could still get a top 5. I don't think he can win 6 shots back, but I do think that he could still rally to a top 5. Guys that I think could actually still win are definitely the -17 guys and up. Probably be my answer. Maybe 16. You know, who's here at -16? Sepp, he can go nuke. Homa, no, he's not there. So Harman and Sepp. See, I'm going to go ahead and say -17 plus Sepp because I think Sepp's a fucking unit. Will anybody be donkey chalk tomorrow? Yeah, here's the rule. Batia is going to be crazy owned. Chris Kirk's going to be crazy owned because they're at the top of the leaderboard and they're cheap, right? So now people can play them and go do whatever they want the rest of their lineups because they think those imaginary position points are so magical. I'll tell you right now, it will be a very hard pill for me to swallow to play Akshay or Chris Kirk at Showdown tomorrow simply because I think they'll both be over 35% owned, right? And those two guys, I think they're going to be a little nervous, okay? These aren't two prolific winners who have a whole bunch of what the fuck is the word I'm looking for? They don't have a whole lot. They don't have a ton of examples of being hawked down by star players and trying to hold on, right? So I'd be a little worried about Kirk and Batia possibly crumbling under the weight of this. Let's see. Tom Kim, Ori Cook guy. Oh, yeah. I thought Tom Kim was a good Ori Cook guy today, and Tom Kim did a whole bunch of dick. Yeah, Tom Kim, not great today. 1 over. Not great, Bob. Zach. How many pesos is too many pesos on Spieth to win this thing? You know what? When Spieth's on, I'm always in. Put $100 on him. I don't know what you normally bet. I put $100 on him. Spieth's playing well. I mean, shit, he should be. What is he at right now? He's third right now. He should be second if he doesn't miss a 3-foot putt, overthinking it on, what was that, like 16 or something? Just hit the damn putt, Jordan, and quit thinking all the time. Jesus. All right, 100% Scheffler tomorrow just to try to mush the chalk. I mean, if you have a really good week-long lineup going and it doesn't have Scheffler, I kind of like that strategy, Zach. I really do. Some people shoot jumpers. Some may hook. With a course this easy, anyone capable of going low, would you be up for leaving more salary on the table? You know, it's just so easy to get weird at round 4 that I don't think you need to do it by leaving a ton of money on the table. That would be my answer to that. If you want to, go ahead. I don't hate it, but I don't think you should do it just to do it, right? Here's Scheffler carving one in there on 18. Oh, good shot, Scott. Well, he getting at least a birdie. All right, the guys at -14, -15, yeah, I think they're too far back to win, in my opinion. There's just too many guys they'd have to jump, and this isn't the kind of course where guys up top are going to be giving up shots tomorrow. Is there any metric that measures how players improve round by round within a tournament? You just can go look round 1, round 2, round 3 here. Or you could, if you're on my site, you could just go compare the stones. That'd probably be the best way, right? There's just so many different things to look at how a player is improving. Like, say his ball striking improves one round, but his putting doesn't. That's going to be very misleading, right? There's Aaron Hatton. Going to have an eagle chip. Okay. You think you guys near the bottom phone it in tomorrow? Yeah, I would kind of worry about that, right? These guys at the very, very bottom, like Davis Riley, Vince Norman, guys like that, I don't think they're going to grind their dicks for you tomorrow. They might go out and have a new crown because they make a couple birdies early, like, fuck it, let's have some fun. But there's also a chance they're going to like go like par, par, bogey, bogey, and they're like, fuck this, I'm dicking around the rest of the day. That's a real thing. They're getting paid no matter what, so why go grind your balls to not move up any money at all? Donkey chalk is donkey chalk for a reason. Do Aberg and Morikawa punish the donkeys tomorrow or bail them out? And Weeklong, I mean, if you played Iceberg at Weeklong, you're toast. He's never going to get to an optimal lineup tomorrow. I mean, he'd have to legit shoot a minus 11 tomorrow to get back into a winning-type lineup. So I wouldn't worry about him. Morikawa, he really saved the round today, right? He was not playing well, and now he's still right there. So I think Morikawa is going to have a good day tomorrow. He gets there, and Iceberg doesn't. Would you recommend an optimizer for Showdown? I couldn't imagine, Jacob, building lineups without my optimizer. Couldn't do it. I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't play fucking Showdown if I didn't have my projections in my optimizer. I wouldn't do it, dude. Haven't looked at one piece of golf info since the summer. Any general piece of advice for Showdown tomorrow? Chad, I covered a whole bunch of it, brother. Mainly playing the points game and position points and people overreacting. And you just know that all these guys in the top 10, are, especially T6 and higher, are going to have very, very inflated ownership, specifically if they are cheaper or they are an elite player. How's the guy in the back doing? Sleeping. Let's see. How excited are you about the Waste Management? Pretty excited. I think that's going to be a really special weekend, Nick. All I'll say is wink, wink. All right. Is Denny playing well enough tee to green that we can keep that he remembers he knows how to putt? Yeah, I mean, I love Denny today. He was one of the dudes I was like, I'm getting a lot of Denny in my lineups because, you know, as I already told you, when I see Denny's approaches on, I'm almost always going to play him. And he sucked again today putting. So maybe Denny's broken, right? Somebody said that, hey, watch out. He's on a honeymoon with his wife. Now I'm starting to buy that theory. How's the standing desk treating you? I mean, it's cool, it's nice, but I'm not going to lie. It's a lot more taxing standing my fat ass up for 30 minutes and being this high energy. I got to get a drink. Shut up. I did cardio today, okay? I did cardio and abs. I mean, not, you know, maybe I should say midsection. I don't have abs. I mean, I probably do. They're just really well hidden. All right, sorry if I'm incoherent question. I meant to, what is the lowest score a player will include in your player pool tomorrow? Minus 7 or better? Yeah, I think you're going to probably, to win a GPP tomorrow, you're probably going to need all your guys at minimum to go minus 5, minus 6 would be my guess. And you're going to have those one or two guys that truly nuke because there will be a guy or two tomorrow that I promise you will go minus 9, minus 10 under. And you're going to need them in your lineups. Xander going to be the highest owned tomorrow? I think so. If you made me bet, Scheffler, Batia will probably be the three highest owned. Well, I got to go do my ownership right after this, but that would be my guess. How much are you looking at guys at strong round four history? I like that kind of stuff, Steven. If I'm being honest, I probably put more weight on it than I should. I just feel like it's a cute little metric to get me looking at guys. Oh, shit, this guy has a B-plus at the round history, right? That was what got me on Hatton yesterday, right? I ended up, that was the first thing that made me look at Hatton. He had like an A on round two course history. And then I just started looking at the rest. I was like, oh shit, Terrell Hatton is going to go nuke in round two. And he did. Sorry, I missed this earlier. Expensive minus 17 guys going to be the nice leverage tomorrow? I think so. Minus 16, minus 17, 15, that range. 17 through 15 is going to be the nutted range. Here's the troll Brennan Todd for Eagle. Watch out for the bridges. Watch out for the bridges, children. Brennan Todd. Wow, that is a terrible fucking putt. Jesus, Brennan. What was the fuck was that? All right. Got to get back to Hatton tomorrow. Probably. Here's my rule. It's Showdown. Hatton has a good round. Stay the fuck away from him. Hatton spins his wheels. I'm all over him. That's just been my rule, and it works out really well. Same thing I do with Jordan Spieth at Weeklong, right? And that shit works out really well, too, doesn't it? What's a decent contest tomorrow? Seems like they have a bunch of junk out there. Yeah, so if I was looking at the contest, one that I would give my approval on playing... The club twirl is not bad if you can afford $44 an entry. The $5 single entry is not bad. The $1 20 max isn't bad. The $12 single entry is not bad. They're just all small, right? So just, you know, there's some good structured contests. They're just small. Like, you're not going to win $20,000 tomorrow unless you want to be in a shitty contest. That's just how it is, bro. All right, guys, I think that's it. Thank you guys for coming by on a Saturday night. I know it's busy. I know there's a lot going on. Many people are going to watch the reviews. Please share this with your friends. Please hit the like and subscribe. And oh yeah, turn on the notifications because these Showdown shows are at a different time every week. I gotta go. Oh, nice putt, Scotty. Let's leave on that piece of shit putt, you ass clown. And I have got to go do stuff for my members. Do not forget to go check out DGEN 75. It is something special going on over there. I'll talk to you later, you mother fathers. Enjoy this outro.